Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad John Deaney's here, too, because he always has some good information for us. John is principal of Management Performance Network, Incorporated. He is he's the leading franchisee of the Alternative Board, the TAB Boards organization. He's the author of at least a couple of books that I know of, including the new ones. The new one is his co-author of 11 Things You Absolutely Need to Know About Selling Your Business. John Deaney, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
It's a neat little book. It's a booklet, ladies and gentlemen, that you probably don't need to be without if you're going to be selling your business in the next 20 years. What would you think? Would that be a good range there, John?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Next 20 years, you need this book if you might be selling your business in the next 20 years. John, today I think you want to talk about employee fraud. And before you got here, I told my audience that I hate to sound cynical, but if you're an employer and you plan to be for a while, employee fraud is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yes, we were discussing it a couple months ago. We have 8 of us that are facilitators for the TAB boards that get together here in San Antonio. And we decided that between us, we estimated about 60% of our small business owner clients had been defrauded at one time or another, and the more cynical of us said the other 40% just hadn't found out.
Right, or they wouldn't admit it.
Right.
Yeah, and it's sometimes it's not surprising. The circumstances that happen are not surprising, and sometimes it not only shocks the employer, but it shocks the community.
Well, you know, I've never had an employer who found somebody guilty of fraud in their company say, you know, I never trusted him for a second.
Right.
You have to have trusted them in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Or they wouldn't have had the access.
Right, they wouldn't have had the opportunity.
Because if it, what we're talking about is fraud, we're not talking about theft, right?
Well, theft is much simpler. Theft is, you know, a guy in the warehouse walking out with something.
Right, right.
Fraud is really somebody in a position of trust that abuses it to manipulate your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's theft and inventory shrink, and it's like shoplifting. It's just constant, and you have to be vigilant. It seems that no matter what you do, you can't be vigilant enough against fraud. Employees are very creative people as a group. It's amazing the things they came up with. We're constantly finding out something new. You know, wow, I never saw that one before. And you've got to give them credit for ingenuity. It'd be nice.
Well, let's rephrase that, John. And I know you don't. You know, we want to be careful. You said employees can be creative, and I think we should probably say there are people out there who work for us who are capable of a lot of creativity if they want to defraud us. Because, as you know, there are for every one fraudulent employee, there are 10,000 who never think of it.
That's generally true.
Maybe 9,000.
Okay. I think most of the statistics show 15% of the people you hire will steal at the first chance they get.
15%?
Yeah. 15% are on the other end. They wouldn't steal if you left gold coins piled on the table for a month.
Yep.
And the other 70% are generally honest people that shouldn't have too much information put, too much temptation put in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that you pointed out is that the three components that are required for fraud to happen are need, opportunity, and rationalization. Now some of these are maybe more intuitive than others. Talk to us about those.
Well, need is obviously a desire for the money. That 15% of bad eggs that I talked about will just steal because they can. And they don't have to have a need. Their need is just, I want more money. But for that 70%, those are the people that you're trying to help, truthfully. As my dad always said, locked doors are for honest men.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And those people, you watch for a need. They have to have something pressing, a sick child, a husband out of work, buying a new house, a car that breaks down.
A divorce or some emergency or traumatic situation or desperate situation in the family.
Yes. Something where their paychecks aren't covering and that they're at their wits' end what to do about it. That's when it happens most frequently.
If that starts happening in the life of an employee, should you start paying a little more attention without being untrustworthy? Is it just good management to be a little more attentive to that situation?
Absolutely. And, you know, especially, you know, a lot of times the employee will give you a red flag. The employee comes to you and says, I need an advance. I need help. The bank won't give me a loan. Can you help me out? And, you know, sometimes we feel that we've generated extra loyalty, and we probably have. I'm not saying they don't appreciate it. They say, I really need $1,000. And you say, well, gee, you don't make that much money. I can advance you
$300. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you've just been through a scenario where you know the problem isn't fixed and they still have a dire issue.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you need to be observant of that.
What about preempting that by, if you know that it's happening before they come to you, what about going to them and saying, is there anything I can do to help you?
That's wonderful. I mean, you should do that for anybody. You should do that for a friend. You would.
Yes.
You would do that for a relative.
You know, one of the things that I've done, John, to really preempt this as much as I can, is whenever I hire a brand new employee, when I sit them down and tell them they're hired, I tell them two things. Don't steal from me, because if you want something, ask me. I'll probably give it to you. And don't lie to me, because if you want to do something, I'll probably let you do it. So you don't have to do any of those things. and you'd be surprised how many wide eyes I get when I make those statements.
That's unusual. I'll give you credit. Does it work?
Except in one case.
Okay.
Stand by. And that's when I was hit by fraud. Stand by. 20 after. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend John Deeney right after these messages.
And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend John Deeney. And John, tell us a little bit about Tab Boards.
Well, Tab Boards are a nationwide organization. We're in 140 cities now, I believe.
Congratulations.
And we bring small business owners together in a board environment of 8 to 10 people where they work on the company. We have a process for helping them improve the business.
How would somebody find out more about Tab Boards online?
Oh, tabboards.com has a list of all the chapters in all the states.
And that's two B's in the middle, by the way.
Yes.
And John, your own website is?
MPN Inc.,
All right.
Managed Provider Networks Incorporated, mpninc.com. Or you can get to us from tabsanantonio.com, too.
All right. Can we find the book, 11 Things You Absolutely Need to Know About Selling Your Business There?
No, don't have that on the website yet.
What?
I'm sorry.
Come on, John. Get with the program.
It's brand new.
How can we get this thing? I mean, I got people, they're chomping at the bits for this book now that I've mentioned it. How do I get it?
We have a contact us on there. Just put 11 things in there, and we'll make sure to.
It's worth the extra effort, folks. But I'm going to make John promise that he'll fix that next time.
Get it fixed. I'm going to call my web guy.
So go there and contact us and ask for the 11 Things book, and it's $14.95. You're going to will you give my audience a little discount?
Certainly. Certainly. Right. How much should I give them?
I don't know. Free shipping. How about that?
Okay, free shipping.
All right, free shipping. All right, how about
free
that?
Free shipping
folks?
For small business advocates.
I work hard. Tell him you heard it on my show. I work hard for you there. Okay, John, we're talking about employee fraud. We talked about the need and now the opportunity. What do we do about that?
Well, the opportunity, obviously, is, you know, all the things they talk about. In a small company, it's tough. I mean, if you go to your CPA, he'll say, oh, have a different person doing payables and receivables, and, you know, you just don't have enough people to do those kind of things. So what we recommend is, as the owner, if you're in a small business and you can't put those controls in place, have the checks, the check stub, well, nobody gets stubs anymore, but the statement mailed to your house so that you're the first one to open it. I can tell a horror story perhaps later of
the bank statements from the
checking account.
The company's bank statement, have them mailed to your house. That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, at least you get first look. We had one a couple of years ago where the receptionist, who had no check writing authority, but could fill out some common petty checks for the boss's signature, was using erasable ink. And because she opened the mail, she had a chance to get the check back out and change it back to the original payee.
How long did she think it was going to take before somebody reconciled the checking accounts and found out that what was going on?
She had spotted, and like I said, and people can be very clever. She had spotted a hole in their system where they were writing a check for one vendor that had multiple accounts every day, and they didn't reconcile that one account. They had a good bookkeeping system, but that one account was kind of like, oh, we do 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 things with that vendor every day. Just write one check to cover them all.
You know, John, when I see people doing something like that, being that creative and that ingenious, I think, you know, if they'd put that effort, that energy, and that capacity to good use, they could be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Instead of playing around with petty cash, you know, some of these crooks are smarter than all the you or me are, it's amazing that they don't apply themselves in a legal way.
We had one that was very clever and difficult to catch. We had a payroll clerk who was just doing entry. The boss approved the payroll. He approved every paycheck, approved all the line items, and then just handed it to the bookkeeper and said, okay, transmit this to the bank online. And every second or third paycheck, she'd make an error. And from $1,284... she'd transpose two numbers and pay herself $1,824.
Just an honest mistake.
An honest mistake.
Yeah.
She just never learned. She kept making it over and
yeah,
over.
Yeah, it's amazing how some people can't learn. What about the rationalization thing?
The rationalization is where there's justification. You know, the employee comes to you and says, I need $1,000, you give him $300, and they go, you know, he could have afforded to give me $1,000.
Or I didn't get as much of a raise as I should have gotten last year, or I got passed over for a promotion, or
Sally whatever. Got the promotion and I didn't, you know, or, you know, Bob's getting all the overtime because he gave him that run.
Or he's making plenty of money in this company, he should be sharing more of this.
Right. We've talked about this before. We've surveyed from roofers to engineers, and the average employee, when asked how much of the gross revenue do you think the boss sticks in his pocket, will answer between 40% and 50%.
Oh yeah, they believe that. Yeah, you're right. So the key to this thing is really having some kind of a breakup in the line of management of the funds of the financial part of your business, where you have to be, you or somebody else, at least more than one person is involved in the whole process, right? As a check.
Yes, and nothing's foolproof. Foolproof. The one we had just this Friday was a business with multiple sites, and the payroll clerk had put her husband on as an employee at a remote site.
Wow. John, give us your website one more time, please.
MPN Inc.
MPN Inc. Thanks, John Deany, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
John Deany, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. He'll be back. Right back with Robert Levin right after these messages, 29 after. The show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.